This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Adulthood can be tricky, especially when you're new to it. Nationally, cabs receive around 5,000 inquiries every year from people under the age of 25. Here at Citizens Advice Bureau, we recognise that information and education sometimes makes a big difference in preventing things going wrong. For example, understanding what to do before buying a car or what happens if you don't have third-party insurance.
Settling in a new city can raise lots of questions. How does the bus service work? Can I join the local library? Where do I go to get advice on renting a home? Over the next half hour, the team from Citizens Advice Bureau bring you all the latest news and information of special interest to new migrants settling in Dunedin. Welcome to Resettling in Aotearoa with Citizens Advice Bureau.
Kia ora. Nau mai anō. Welcome back to Citizens Advice Bureau, Ōtipoti Dunedin's monthly Resettling in Aotearoa show. Ko Anna Ahau. I am the manager at CAB here in Ōtipoti Dunedin. Tonight's show, we're going to explore what under 25-year-olds are coming to our cab about and the insights gained from our youth inquiries around the whole country actually led Cab New Zealand to develop what we've called the Youth Toolkit. And it was launched last year, and it's a new website that is like a go-to online information resource and source of help for youth. It is drawn from the main CAB website, but focuses in on common questions and answers for young people. And those are issues the issues that we most commonly help younger people with, like going flatting, getting ID, traffic offences, starting a job, buying a car, problems at work, etc. So a common question we get from rangatahi youth is how much final pay. This is around employment conditions, and it's a big one from youth. Around final pay and how much the client, you know, would expect to receive from their employer when your employment contract comes to an end. And we regularly assist young people who have either not received a final payment at all from their employer, or only part of what they're owed, or maybe where a payment has come through but the client is not sure if it's the right amount. So an example of an inquiry in this area, so the client has just given notice that they're resigning and their experience has not been very good with their employer, and they don't trust that they will receive everything they are owed when they leave. They want to understand how much holiday pay they will be owed so they can ensure their employer pays them properly in their final pay. Other issues relating to pay include whether clients are being paid the legal minimum wage for their age, whether they're receiving their KiwiSaver entitlements from their employer, whether they should be paid for training days, and what their pay entitlement is when working on a public holiday. So often we see or find that young people aren't receiving what they're legally entitled to. So another example that we've received of an inquiry in this employment area is, so the client was a 17-year-old being paid $18 an hour for their job, and they know that that's less than the minimum legal wage for someone their age, but the manager says they're in training, even though they are not doing any industry training program, and they feel like their manager is bullying them and they're not very comfortable talking to them about their pay. And another one, the client's employer has been deducting 4% of the client's pay, which they'd requested for KiwiSaver, but the employer's been putting this through to the client's KiwiSaver account as the employer contribution, and the client thought the employer had to pay 3% contribution on top of their wages, which they are correct. Many of the inquiries about employment from rangatahi are about leave entitlements, you know, where the client isn't clear about exactly how much leave they're entitled to take, even if they have an employment agreement to refer to, which actually isn't always the case either. Often the client is unsure because they're not full-time employees, you're working regular hours, and so it's, you know, their leave is much harder to calculate. It's not straightforward. Or, they might need to take leave for their own illness, or, a whānau situation. Another example of an inquiry, the client needs surgery and to take some time off work. They want to know how much sick leave they are allowed when they can't work in that period after surgery. Another inquiry, the client wants to spend Christmas with their family on a long planned trip to the Pacific next year. They've applied for annual leave for the trip and have provided the employer a full year's notice. And they have enough leave to cover the time they'd be away, but their employer has denied the leave. And the client thinks that this isn't fair and reasonable and want to know what they can do. So yeah, we've seen youth, in situations when an employer, like I just said, has denied requests for leave. And we see both situations. We see sometimes where the employer is acting within their rights and sometimes when the employer is in breach of employment law. Regardless of the situation, an employer always has to act in a reasonable way and in the spirit of good faith, even when there is no question of it illegality, on the employer's part. So they might be legally within their rights, but CAB might help support youth where their rights have been breached, but also we can help people if they want to negotiate in those situations with their employer. Yeah, so overall, we also notice that many inquiries that are related to employment conditions or their contracts with youth seem to happen within a context of bullying and harassment. We see young workers being singled out as individuals or as a group, within their place of work, sort of in a given less favourable conditions, I guess, than other workers, or they're sort of being mistreated, not allowed to take breaks, getting blamed for mistakes that they're not responsible, or often young people being asked to do menial jobs that other people in the workplace who have exactly the same role are never asked to do, and they're also paid less than the minimum wage. Yeah, and so the next biggest area of inquiry we get from rangatahi is about renting or shared accommodation. So, this young person might be a tenant, a flatmate, or a private boarder, but regardless of the type of tenancy or rental situation, there seems to be a real lack of understanding of rights when renting for both tenant renters and non-tenant renters. That would be like a flatmate or in a private boarding situation. So in some cases, the young person is unaware that they're not covered by the Residential Tenancy Act until a problem comes up. And that means that the tenancy law does not apply to them. That Residential Tenancy Act does not apply to them because they might be a private boarder or just a flatmate and not on the tenancy agreement. And therefore, the tenancy tribunal can't help them to resolve their dispute. So often, tenancy services will send those clients to CAB. Like we're the go-to referral place when they can't deal with something. And we might help them resolve it via applying to the disputes tribunal instead of tenancy tribunal. But we will always ensure anyone who comes in here understands their rights and obligations too. Young clients often come to CAB because there's been a breakdown in the relationships between them and others they live with. Young people don't always know each other well when they start flatting, and so issues, often come up after you've moved in. And so, yeah, if you're living in a tenancy as a flatmate and are not on the tenancy agreement, you're often more vulnerable. But there are, a flat or a house sharing agreement is very helpful for setting expectations about the flat for the period. And making the terms of the arrangement clear, for example, like what is the notice period for ending the agreement if you're not on the tenancy agreement? But unfortunately, only some shared head tenants or homeowners use these written agreements, and they can vary in what they say and how clear what they say is. So often, the young person who is a non-tenant renter, again, like a flatmate or a private boarder and not on the tenancy agreement, it means you're often subject to the decisions and actions of the head tenant. Again, it's at CAB here. We can advise you about flat sharing agreements, what should be in them, and advice around the importance of having one. Sometimes things get so bad that we've had youth that have gone to the police thinking that they would be able to resolve stuff, but actually the police won't get involved in anything because they see it as a civil, well, it is a civil dispute. And the police will often say, go to CAB for help. So a couple of examples, in this rental inquiry area. So the client is a tenant in a rental property with other tenants, then they're all on the tenancy agreement, but some of the relationships in the flat have broken down. One tenant is asking our client to leave, saying that he has the right to do that. But our client wants to know if that's true. They're on a fixed term tenancy. There's no safety or property damage issues involved. The tenants are just not getting on. So another example is when, a client got involved with another flatmate who be, there was a bit of physical abuse. She gave notice to the head tenant, but they're refusing to give her bond back. But there is a written flat sharing agreement. And she followed the required procedure. She gave the 3 weeks' notice that it said on her flat sharing agreement. And she's not caused any damage that could affect getting her bond back. And that stress of that is of that situation is really impacting her mental well-being. And she wants to know what she can do. Yeah, so that bond situation is quite common. We see young people when property managers or landlords or whatever do not agree to bond refunds and are trying to take money off the bond before refunding things, which would actually be, for example, due to fair wear and tear, or for charges that can't legally be asked for. So an example is a client had a agreement from the landlord via email, where he was let out of his fixed term lease, except he's still not got his bond back. And the property manager keeps emailing him with more and more things that need to be repaired and cleaned, such as a bit of mold on the curtains, marks on the carpet. And the property manager is insisting that he pays for commercial cleaners and for new expensive curtains and their installation. And they wanted to know if these requests are legal and valid. So, yeah, here in Dunedin amongst students, it's quite common for people to assign their fixed term tenancy to someone else, obviously with the landlord's consent, and they can't unreasonably refuse that. And this might happen halfway through a fixed term. So someone else takes up the tenancy. And in this case, to do with bonds, it's fine for the incoming tenant to pay the bond to the outgoing tenant directly. But you must remember to complete a change of tenant form and lodge it with tenancy services so the bond is transferred into the new tenant's name. And that sometimes isn't happening, and that causes problems later because it's not possible to find the tenant that left or to get them to sign off the original tenants who are listed on the bond lodgement record. So, yeah, that finding acceptable replacement tenants, like we talked about, assigning a tenancy in shared accommodation. Particularly here in Dunedin amongst students, and other youth, they're on a 12-month fixed term tenancy, which actually means you're locked in for the entire year, even if you only want to be in your flat from February to November. There are actually limited grounds on which the tenancy tribunal will order a reduction in the term of a fixed term tenancy. So to leave without assigning the tenancy to someone else, the only option is for the tenant to, you've got to establish that there has been unforeseen change in your circumstances. That would mean that you would suffer severe hardship if the fixed term is not reduced. But that hardship would have to be greater than the hardship than the other party, the landlord, would suffer if it is reduced. And so that unforeseen change requirement, if you want to get out of a fixed term lease, well, it won't be adequate ever if you just claim you need to shorten it because your study has come to an end, or if you've decided to move to another flat, because those changes and circumstances, should have been anticipated and were a result of your own choices. So yes, your option there is that you have to try to find a replacement tenant. It's called assigning a tenancy that will see your lease through to the end of the fixed term. And with the landlord's consent, you have to, and the remaining tenant's consent, you can assign your tenancy to someone else. But there's a clear process you need to find, need to follow, and it's complicated, and it causes a lot of problems. The remaining tenants have to be happy with it. There's also situations where young people living together find one person difficult or not fitting in, want them to leave, and it may be the first time you have had to deal with this kind of personal conflict. Yeah, and the police again sometimes send people to us when they've gone to the police to try to trespass someone, but tenants can't trespass each other from a rental if they're both on the agreement. Yeah, another thing we see is when you feel stuck in a situation where you're being told that you must pay rent until someone else is found, and then you end up paying rent for two places or not knowing when this will end. Another thing that young renters come to us about often is damp, cold, mouldy housing and difficulties getting issues addressed. CAB helps these clients to understand, the steps they need to take to ensure the landlord resolves these issues promptly. Take like talking first, putting it in writing, still not resolved, then the 14-day breach notice. Yeah, so you'll find articles on this new youth tool, Kēti, well, that was launched last year, which is youth.cab.org.nz. You'll find things like what happens to the bond at the end of my tenancy, going flatting is on the home page on a box that you can click into, and in there you'll find like asking a flatmate to leave, your responsibilities as a flatmate, preventing problems and problems with the rent. So go check that out. So the next rangatahi, purchasing a vehicle, is one of is an issue we see. It's probably the largest financial purchase you might make when you're young, and it's really important, to get to work or study. And so when there's a problem, it can have a big impact. And often younger people, the money you have to purchase a car is a key factor in deciding where you buy. So often you might try to buy privately, like on social media. You do that generally because it'd be cheaper, but there's lots of risks in that when you buy privately. You're not covered by any legislation, really, like Consumer Guarantees Act. If you don't do back, you can't, if you don't do background checks or see if money's owed, or pre-purchase inspections. Yeah, so it's really important to know about all that stuff. And also often we see when young people have come, when there's been serious faults after they bought the car. And other things we see happening to young clients is that car dealers and mechanics think they can just give the young people the run around when they try to stand up for their rights after they've purchased a car that is faulty or have had repairs that are unsatisfactory. Sometimes we see younger people like that are unaware that a car needs to have a warrant and needs to be registered to be available for purchase. Sometimes the seller tells them the car is warrantable, and then you find out later that it's not the case. And also sometimes young people are unsure of the paperwork that needs to be filled out by who, and that sometimes causes problems when the change of ownership process isn't being done properly. Some rangatahi are upset when a car they have purchased or sold is then repossessed due to money owing on it from the previous owner. Car finance loans are causing issues for youth too. They need to be aware that they can back out of a finance agreement when they discover how much, that they can't actually afford it, maybe. You have a calling off period, not to actually purchase the car, just for the finance. You can't just change your mind on a car purchase. What else? Yes, insurance and traffic accidents. Yeah, we see having a car accident causes financial problems. Who are, for young people who are often uninsured. They're not fully aware of all the potential financial consequences of that decision. It can be intimidating for an uninsured person to dispute liability in a crash and have to deal with the other party's insurance company, who is often putting pressure on them to accept liability. And sometimes, yeah, you're not sure about who's responsible for the cost of removing a vehicle after an accident. It's high costs involved in towing, but if you've got insurance, that should all be covered. Another thing we regularly see here, young clients who are struggling to access services or entitlements because of the challenges of getting ID identification, particularly the case for clients under 18 who are not eligible for the Kiwi Access card. They come, so sometimes we see youth who come to us because you've got an urgent need for an ID, but you don't have anything acceptable, like for, landlords wanting ID or when applying for a job. Like a client once came in who was born in Australia, didn't have any photo ID, but he needs it so he can apply for study and for a driver's license here. And they've tried to get a copy of the birth certificate from Australia, but they've got nowhere. Yeah, and they're finding it difficult and need help, not sure what to do next. Banks have very strong identity requirements. Yeah, so the investigation into the issues that young people come to CAB for help with show these different challenges that young people face. Many come, they feel disempowered and unsure what they can do to resolve the issues they're facing. And so we do realise that, having knowledge of your rights about an issue helps to prevent some problems, but it's often that the onus is on the person with the problem to take action, and that's hard for youth often, and for them to stand up and enforce their rights. So yeah, like I said, while that's challenging for a lot of people, we see that it's our rangatahi who face particular challenge in enforcing their rights. And many just don't take action because of the fear of consequences of doing so and weighing up such things as what it would mean. To leave a job, you won't get a good reference necessarily, or if you lose a job or when you're dependent on your job to pay for bills, often results in a rangatahi living, with exploitation rather than actually standing up for their rights. Yeah, so there's sometimes an expectation that simply providing younger people, like I said, with knowledge of their rights and responsibilities will be sufficient for them to navigate all those challenges of adult life. However, we see a real need in, from youth for active support to help them overcome that power imbalance that many youth face. So, yeah, at CAB, we're like here, we're like this place of reassurance and support for you to take action to ensure that your rights are upheld. Yep. So, as we said, from the evidence we see in the inquiries from youth all around Aotearoa, CAB New Zealand developed that Youth Talkiri website for young people. Website contains information about many of the key issues for young people embarking on those firsts in adult life, starting tertiary study, getting a job, going flatting, buying a car, getting ID, and more. And it's like for helping you young people know your rights and responsibilities and then linking you to us, to the CAB service when you need help from a real person. The site, I guess, is about providing young people with a go-to online information resource when you have a question about anything and you know that it's fact-checked, it's credible, and it's written in plain English. And we would love for you to check out our CAB Youth Talkiri website and share it widely with the young people you know. So you can find it again, https://youth.cab.org.nz. But if you need further assistance, you can call us directly in Dunedin on 471 6166, or the nationwide free phone is 0800 367 222, but it may be answered elsewhere. But you can always ask if they can call us and we can call you back. If it's answered at a CAB somewhere else around the country, you can email us on our main website, www.cab.org.nz, under Find a CAB, and then contact us. And you can call in at 155 Princes Street. We're open for phone calls and email inquiries 10 to 4, but for walk-ins, it's better to come before 3 so we can have that time to help you. And we actually are only open in the morning on Fridays. So that's 10 to 1. Remember that Citizens Advice Bureau helps you to know, understand, and exercise your rights under the law here in New Zealand, how to resolve your issues. And our help and advice is free, and we help anyone about anything. We're independent of any government agency, and anything we talk about remains completely confidential. And just on that note, all of those inquiries, examples that I gave earlier were all sort of summarized, you know, so there's no identifying information. It might have been changed slightly. So, yep. This resettling in Aotearoa with Citizens Advice Bureau show plays on the second Wednesday of the month at 8:30 p.m. and then the following Thursday at 1 p.m. on ORFM 105.4 FM. Episodes are also available on podcast www.oar.nz/shows/resettling-in-Aotearoa. If you have enjoyed the show tonight and found the information helpful, please share our show with the podcast and the podcast with friends, whānau, and workmates. Ngā mihi ki a koe for tuning in this evening. Kia pai te pō. Have a great evening.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.